QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q, net control for the Tech Tuesday net at 1900 hours or 1903 sometimes. Local time on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater at 147.330 megahertz, offset of 600 kilohertz, and the PL of 131.8. This net is conducted every Tuesday at 1900 hours, thereabouts, and conditions permitting. Gotta add that in there. This repeater is solely owned, operated, and maintained by the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. We wish to thank the BBARC for the use of the repeater for this net. More information on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club can be had at www.bbarc.org. That's BBARC for Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. And a lot of stuff in there. Also, applications for the club. Cool stuff there. The purpose of this net is to provide and promote technical knowledge, education, and information of amateur radio, a gateway to spark interest in various aspects of amateur radio communications. Before I begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call KF6Q. Hearing none, are there any bulletins or announcements for the net? Please call KF6Q. All right, a couple of announcements here. Looks like we're going to have some dry, warm air and some high temperatures hit us here in about a day or so. So if you're up here in the Big Bear area, please keep your eyes open. See something that requires help from any of the first responder agencies, please dial 911 as quickly as you can. Also, not sure if it has been set up this way. It was supposed to be set in. I guess we can always find out. The 3-minute timer has been removed for this evening. And if it hasn't been this evening, in the future for 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock, 3-minute timer will be removed, so don't worry about resetting or timeouts or things like that. Pretty cool new feature of our new gear. All right, topic for the evening. We're going to just cover kind of a brief article, but very cool, about VHF contesting. This is the month, and this is being pulled out of the June QST, but we'll try to go through this article, so if you don't have it, you can still see what's going on there. It's on page 80 of the June QST, Introduction to VHF Contesting, and is written by Sean Kutzko, KX9X. All right, but let's get our roster of our members who are out there just about every week, starting with WB6CLZ, Mike.
Just about. We miss them now and then. Hey, good evening, Tom and the net, WB6CLZ. Got a good topic tonight, and hope we'll enjoy it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And we'll be able to kind of elaborate all about contesting, which is good because we have field day coming up. And it's not a contest, but it is a contest, but it's not a contest, but it is a contest. Boy, we can go on forever with that. All right, Mike, thanks for being out there. How about WB6CIN?
Good evening, Tom. This is WB6CIN.
All right, Cindy. Hopefully your fingers will recover from pawning all those plants from that huge plant sale you had last weekend. Good deal. All right, next I have KA6CIA George in a probably very windy Lucerne Valley.
Yeah, it's not that bad. Good evening, Tom, KA6CIA.
And good evening there, George. Thanks for being out there. Yeah, it's pretty up here, and I was down in the desert for a bit this morning, and boy, it sure did look like it was picking up. All right, next I have here KJ6HCS, Mike. Let's see if he's out there. Oh, he's probably out there tracking a deer or something. All right, how about WA6ITC, Rod?
Yeah, we're here at Lake Williams, WA6ITC.
And good evening there, Rod. thanks for being out there. By the way, didn't see any activity across the way, but I'm sure they'll get to that. Next, I have KJ6FIL Mike.
Good afternoon, KJ6FIL.
And good afternoon, or evening, or whatever may apply. Thanks for being out there, Mike, and being with us from Redlands. Let's see here, next I have, not sure if he's out there, or he was going to be tied up. Let's try KJ6KDL Jim. Yeah, I think he was going to be working some OT tonight, so Jim will be with us in spirit of some sorts. Anyway, all right, next I have, let's see, moving on down here, I'm not sure if he's listening. I know he's up on the mountain. Let's see if we have W6GZI, Frank.
That wasn't me, but this is me. This is W6GZI, and I'm up here and I'm listening. All right.
Well, good evening there, Frank. Thanks for being out there listening this evening. And yeah, it's the old K6BB repeater ID, and this is KF6Q here. Tom Fry Tech Tuesday and the group, KF6Q. Every Tuesday that we can with Mike, WB6CLZ, and other associated people we get to get in there once in a while. All right, next I have KI6IQA, Kelly. And nothing there from Kelly. How about K9AOG Stephen from Long Beach? Don't hear Stephen out there. How about K9GVL Ron from Green Valley?
Good evening, Tom and Lynette. This is K6GVL.
Ron, thanks for being out there this evening, and thanks again for doing the great presentation at the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club meeting this last Saturday. Fantastic, and pretty cool with the school and everything you have going on there. Thanks again. Next, I have 86PM, Riverside. All right, nothing from Harold this evening. Let's see if KJ6RAY Ray is out there. Okay, not hearing anything from Ray this evening. Let's try W6JLM Judith, W6KMM Ken.
This is W6JLM. I will be listening.
Judith, glad to have you out there. Appreciate that. Next, we have KJ6PYV Dave.
Good evening, Tom and Annette. KJ6PYV checking in from Sugarloaf.
And good evening there, Dave. Thanks for checking in and being out there from Sugarloaf. Let's see, next I have K2BBL Alan from Woodridge. Okay, you can all hear Alan out there this evening. How about K6YNW Chris?
I don't know if you can read me, K6YNW.
Chris, got you in there solid. Not a problem. Appreciate you being out there. How about W6POO, Chip? And another one out there from Chipper. How about KD6LAN Bill?
Yeah, good evening, Tom. Big surprise tonight. I'm not working on the red thing. I'm doing cleaning, but I will be listening, KD6LAN.
Okay, Bill. Thanks for being out there, and thanks for the trip down to the desert. It was pretty cold this morning. So, next I have Ron, WA6HF.
Hey, Tom, how's it going? WA6HF.
And good evening there, Ron. Thanks for being out there. Appreciate that. Let's see if we got Shelly in there. KJ6QYN. Shelly. That's from Shelly this evening. I'll see if we can make it to Cerritos with NQ7RD. Rick.
This is Rick in Cerritos, NQ7RD, new mobile antenna on the roof, bed with hardline. Hope I'm coming in at 5 kilowatts.
Well, Rick, I'll guarantee you, you're going to save a lot of money that way on the energy. You are in there, a little sizzle behind you, but full copy on the audio. Thanks for being out there. Next page here, I have AE6CK Victor.
Good evening, Tom and Zanet, Victor Santa Speaks.
Victor, glad to have you out there from Santa Fe Springs, and thanks again for all the help Sunday and Monday both of measuring the site for our Big Bear Amateur Radio Field Day this year. Pretty cool. Thanks. Appreciate that again, and looking forward to working with you on the rest of the stuff there. How about KA6ROD Rod from Moonridge?
I'm here, KA6ROD.
Hey, Rod, glad to have you out there. Appreciate that. Next I have, don't know if she's out there, about KB6LTY Christy. She's a very busy person. About W6JET Rob.
Good evening to the net, W6JET.
All right there, Rob, thanks for being out there, and I think you're still up here. So you'll probably use a tin can between you and me and Dave. Alrighty, well that is just about most of the people here. We'll give a holler out there, see if Bob's out there real quick. WA6MQF, Bob. Alright, nothing heard there. Well, that's pretty much the list as I have it. Anybody else out there would like to check in as a guest this evening, please come back to KF6Q.
WA6FIZ.
Hey, Mickey, glad to have you out there. WA6FIZ, Upper Moon Ridge. Anybody else out there?
W6KMM.
W6KMM. And actually, Ken, I called you with Judith, but I guess she didn't mention your name, so I'm sorry about that. Well, anyway, good to have you out there. Anybody else? All right, well, that's all our check-ins for this evening. Appreciate everybody who has checked in. Well, Mike, this is pretty cool. This is not going to be a real difficult article this evening. And this is just, like it says, an introduction to VHF contesting. Well, contesting itself, kind of neat, good part of ham radio. And, you know, of course, we're coming up in June. They have the VHF contesting. Mike, what bands does that usually, where does that start? Which are the three major bands they use for that?
Well, the major bands are 6 meters, 2 meters, and 70 centimeters. That's mostly where everything random happens. There's some specialized stuff going on a little higher, but that's where most of it goes on. Back to you, Tom.
You know, as we all know, too, if you've been involved with ham radio, of course, all three of these bands are doable with just a tech license. So if that's all you have is a tech license, not a problem. You're in there. And it's all pretty cool. We've got different ways they handle this, but essentially, the VHF contesting's basic premise is the same as HF. Going to work as many different stations on as many different bands in as many different places as possible in the contest period. And, of course, the two most used are the 6-meter and 2-meter, and that's basically due to propagation. Now, we have single sideband involved with this and CW, but there is a little FM in there, too. So, anyway, Mike, you want to explain the Maidenhead grid squares and how that works?
I'll do what I can here. That may have been a question on your tests when you took it, too. I know there was one on mine about Maidenhead grid squares. Well, basically, the Earth is divided into grid squares, according to amateur radio lore, and they are 1 degree of latitude by 2 degrees of longitude. Roughly 64 by 128 miles is a grid square. And they're grouped into a cluster of 100 called a grid field. Now, up there in Big Bear, as I recall, it's Delta Mike 14 down here in Placentia. I'm Delta Mike 13. You know, there's a, like I say, a whole lot of them because of their 64 by 128 miles. So it takes up a lot of territory. Back to you, Tom.
And a very good description there. And these grid squares kind of give you an idea. If you get used to the lingo and the notation of that, you would know what, you know, or if you got an eye, like you say, like right there, Delta Mike 14, we're up here, Delta Mike, or 13, well, okay, then I know he's basically further south. And this grid square layout, if you don't have it, which, of course, I don't think it's, you know, out there on everybody's driver's license or anything, you can download this usually from the ARRL. A lot of different sites have it. Pretty cool. It's a printable PDF file. The grid squares are actually in Alaska and Hawaii. And I don't remember, Mike, if they actually go out over the ocean, but I guess they would because it's a, you know, it's all divided up that way. So anyway, pretty cool, pretty cool. So, all right, so we have a contest. We're going to try to reach as many people, as many places, and as many bands as we can. And then we basically have an operating period of time. Now, Mike, is that usually, what, 24 hours, 48 hours? I'm not sure. I don't think it says here, but maybe somebody else out there would know, too. But I think a lot of contests are basically over a weekend. Is that correct?
That's usually how it works, usually similar to field day. Field day starts a local time, 11 o'clock for us here in the West Coast, and on Saturday, and ends at 11 o'clock local time on Sunday. And I think they're all basically about the same. Also, another place, if you don't know your grid square, you can go to QRZ and plug in your call letter and go down into that, the information that it provides, and it will also give you your grid square there. Go ahead, Tom.
You know, and also one thing to remember here too is if you're going to get involved in any kind of contest, like it's always good to get information there. There are certain frequencies pretty much set aside for CW and single sideband, and there's actually certain areas set aside for DX stations. And what that would mean is that if you're trying to reach somebody who's nearby, don't try to do it in a frequency area that's set aside for DX, meaning long distance. There are a couple of little I's to dot and T's to cross there, so make sure, not that they're going to send out the radio police after you, but always good to play by the rules as best as possible. Well, anyway, yeah, and we have that, let's see, the biggest issue, of course, we're going to have is propagation, and we'll get into that in just a minute. Of course, they do have a picture in the article here of a guy operating W0STU, worked the 2011 January VHF contest, 6 meter and 144, 2 meter, and 432, the 70 centimeter, and he was the top of Mount Hermon in Colorado. Wow, top of a mountain. Hey, that sounds familiar. That's kind of like Big Bear. Anyway. Mike, back to you. Let's start out with propagation. Oh, that could be cool or not.
Back it down a little bit, too. We have to make sure 5125 and 144-200 on 6 and 2 meters are the calling frequencies. And during a contest like this, you don't camp on the calling frequencies and call CQ contests. It's okay to solicit a few QSOs and kind of move on or get a QSO and then get move up the band a little bit, but you just don't camp on the calling frequencies. Hey, it's nice having not having a timeout. Now I can ramble. You know, it's not going to happen. Anyway, propagation. Most common that we will see would be sporadic E and maybe some tropospheric ducting. Sporadic E is when charged particles clump together and become dense enough, they call them clouds, to reflect radio signals. It's very descriptive, just like it says. It uses the E layer to bounce off of, let's say, and it is unpredictable, so hence the sporadic. Most common during the months of May to August, usually it's centered around the summer solstice, which I believe is about the 21st of June. And that happens quite a bit. You guys listen on 6 meters, and you'll probably hear an opening here in the next month or so. Like, I'm almost guaranteed that you'll hear an opening in the next month or so. You're looking at probably 700 to 900 miles on sporadic E when the clouds, they call them, are positioned properly. When distance is properly positioned, you could get multiple hops on that, and 1,300 to 1,500 miles. And openings can last from just a couple of minutes to, I've had one that was 2 or 3 hours that I was involved in, and it was kind of cool. And now tropospheric ducting, that'll occur in the troposphere, it's tropospheric, and it generally affects 2 meters and up. And you'll find that happening on warm, cloudless days when there's a high-pressure weather system. And I believe it has to be a high-pressure system that's either big enough or continues on the distance that you're going to communicate through. Tom, you might correct that if I'm wrong on that. I'm not really sure. It doesn't say here. But I have heard one and only one. It was a repeater on the Big Island on the volcano, or up near the side of the mountain on the Vail volcano, and we were hearing it here on the west coast, and that was very cool. That was my only time that I've ever heard tropospheric ducting. But it's AM, I mean AM, hello. It will happen on FM, it'll happen on sideband. Now my timeout's going, so I'll kick it back to you, Tom.
Aha! Okay. Yeah, that was your timeout. Well, anyway, you definitely were in there for quite a while. Thank you for all that information. So next, with the tropo, yeah, that's pretty much it. And actually, the tropospheric ducking is probably the coolest. That's neat. And the sporadic, all this stuff, pretty cool. But it's not reliable, so that's why it makes it really interesting to try to catch it at the right time. Well, the entry classes, we have three classes. Fixed station, which would be, say, basically where you're at your house or your some QTH you're going to use as your fixed station, or a low-power portable station, which would be kind of like a QRP rig, or as a rover, kind of like in a vehicle and wandering about. So anyway, the fixed stations, you know, like you say, your home, your club station, or a campground, all very good. Like I said, it doesn't have to be your home. You can be camped out someplace on a mountaintop, also fixed. You can operate from a single spot for the entire contest and can run high power if you wish. Mike, what is the portable station and how does that work?
Well, the portable station has to be a QRP portable, slow power portable station, has to be limited to 10 watts PEP or less. And you can operate anywhere you can pack your gear. And Big Bear being an ideal place because we have some mountains up about 8,800 feet. And you have some views, which VHF is generally line of sight. I have one place that we used to go to. You can go up there and you can see the top of Mount Whitney from. So that's quite a range. I didn't do much radio work at the time. I had a little sabbatical of radio, so I wasn't playing with it. But next time we go up there, I definitely will take my little QRP radio and go up and see what can happen. But yeah, 10 watt PEP is the maximum you can have on the portable station. Back to you, Tom.
Yeah, KF6Q, Tech Tuesday in the group here for ID. You know, one thing too, anybody who out there has ever been hiking or out and about up here in the Big Bear area, San Gorgonio, San G, I'm just going to say shot from the hip, about 11,500 feet, maybe just a few feet below that. That is a very cool location. You can operate just about to anything. Your line of sight with just about the world. And with that said, if you could actually pack some of this gear up there, very cool hike. Of course, this is the time of year. You have to be very careful with all your other provisions to be hiking up there. And that is wilderness area, so you would have to actually make arrangements with Forest Service ahead of time. But all that said and done, 10 watts will probably bring you the world. It's just fantastic up there. So that would be probably an ultimate location locally here as a rover. As a portable a low-power station. Rover, essentially, you can work from your vehicle, and you can move and operate from more than one grid square. So as long as your tank full of gas or more gas or a wallet holds out, you could basically keep roving around, and there's a whole lot of rules just about all about this. So anyway, Mike, there's something new for 2013, and what's that involved?
There are two, now on 2013, there are two single operator fixed station entry class, and that's aimed at the newcomers, the guys that are just getting started. One is a three band and FM only single operator, and that's called SO3B. And that'll allow you to use 100 watts on 6 and 2 meters and 50 watts on 70 centimeters. And for anybody that has the all-in-one rigs, you know, they go all the way to 2 meters and 70 centimeters. I think your little rig, the that Yaesu, Tom, that takes care of operate on 70 centimeters also. So you've got the perfect rig there with that little 20 watts when you're operating with the battery. You just have to pack it up, and that's the problem. There's another one, single operator FM. It's SO, and that will allow you to use 100 watts on through 70 centimeters. And all QSOs, you have to use FM. And you can use that from home, from campground, hilltop, garage, anywhere you can set up antennas. You can use the two new single operator classes. So you don't have to have any fancy gear for that. Probably what you've got available and are listening on now. Back over to you, Tom.
Okay, Mike, well, we're going to break here just for a second. We've got one last paragraph section here on small antennas, but before we get to that, anybody out there with any questions about this that we can answer or hopefully answer, or anything else to add, please come back to Tech Tuesday and the group.
86PL, how about a late check-in?
Well, we got you in there, Harold. Not a problem. Anybody else out there with a comment or question here?
LAN.
All right there, Mr. LAN. How are you, and what's your question?
My question is without going to an external amplifier, is it possible to have a factory unit put out more power than it was made to do?
Well, the short and quick answer is no. The only way to take a factory unit and have it produce more power is you have to have what's called a PA, or power amplifier, put on the back end, or as you receivers would call it, add that linear on there, good buddy. Anyway, but yeah, that would actually is what you would take, but you don't have to run power, but that's pretty much it. Otherwise, you'd be carving away inside the radio, and might do more damage than good. Back to you, Bill, real quick.
Okay. No, I just figured since it was already in the shop, maybe if it was possible, I would have them do it. But if it isn't possible, then oh well. Thank you. KD6LAN.
QA6FIZ.
Yes, Mickey, go ahead.
If you want to get more power and you can't get it out of your radio, you can do it by using a better antenna.
You know what, that's very true, but I think he was referring to actually the power coming right out of the rig. And, of course, a better antenna and more antenna always boosts your signal out there. And, other than that, either a power amp or better antenna. But very good point here, because actually we're going to get into antennas here next part in the article here in a second. and that's where you'll see some of these have very, well, they've got multiple element Yagis, more gain, more power, actually basically going into the air. Anybody else out there?
Hey, Tom, WA6HF.
Yes, Ron, go ahead.
It's power, antenna, and feed line, and connectors.
Why do somebody trip me up there? That is very true, and especially for VHF, and we're going to call it the 70 centimeter, which is actually UHF. You don't want to be using any, you know, RG8X on this stuff. The feed line is very, very critical at these frequencies. You can have a lot of loss. Loss is the opposite thing you want to do. And connectors. Connectors, here's another thing, too. We're all used to using a lot of UHF connectors, which have a little bit of loss. And connectors, a little pricier, but they are probably one of the best until you get above the 70 centimeters, and then, of course, you're going to get into some more elaborate stuff. Ron, thanks for mentioning that. Back to you real quick.
Yeah, and all that stuff's available now. So you can actually get some really nice stripping tools and all the connectors and stuff from DX Engineering. So that's a good place to start. DX Engineering is a good place to go.
Yeah, roger that. And, of course, there's others out there, but they do have a plethora, there you go, big complicated word this week, of stuff out there. A lot of cool things and very good online catalog to look through. So very, very cool. Anybody else out there before we move into the last paragraph here of comments, questions, or suggestions for Introduction to VHF Contesting, okay, Tech Tuesday in the group? All right, anyway, last paragraph we got here or two. Mike, small antennas, which is probably one of the coolest things about the VHF contest versus HF, where you could look like a NSA relay station or Goldstone tracking, depending on all the stuff that you have on your rooftop or tower. Well, anyway, what's the magic here of VHF, Mike? And it's just, we have small antennas. How does that work?
Well, you know, bigger is always better, I guess, but more elements is better. But, yeah, you can get by, like right now, let's change the subject. And, you know, antennas, vertical versus horizontal polarization. FM, I think we all know that, uses vertical polarization. CW and sideband on VHF uses horizontal polarization. What you're hearing from this station right now is cross polarization. I've got a 75-watt rig, and my four-element Yagi is horizontally polarized. So what they tell you here is you can it'll be attenuated by about 20 dB just because of the opposite polarization. Tom, I have got a timer acting up at one of my shopping centers. I've got to book on out of here. I've got to be there when that thing switches on. So I'm going to say 7-3s to everybody and let you kind of finish the antenna and maybe talk a little bit about field day, and I will see you guys next week. Sorry about that, but, business is business. KS6Q, WB6CLZ, and Tech Tuesday. 7-3s, y'all got to run.
Okay, Mike, yeah, you let me know about that ahead of time. I do appreciate your sticking in here as long as you can. And, go take care of the troubleshooting there. Appreciate that. But anyway, yeah, because we're pretty much to the end of the article here. Yeah, what Mike is actually running, he's actually losing almost 99% of the signal. But because of his four-element Yagi, he's got so much gain and his distance and proximity to us up here, we would never know that. And, of course, he keeps it horizontal like that. Very good for his single sideband stuff that he does. And so anyway, you got to make sure that you kind of want to keep that matched to the band you're doing and the type of modulation and all that good stuff. So another good point there, NQ7RD, Hardline running into this antenna setup he has, talking about the best of the best connectors running milliwatts of power and still getting in here. So that's kudos to you there, Rick. Appreciate all that. So anyway, so we're going to kind of wrap up Tech Tuesday here. Not that much earlier than we normally do. But before we do, are there any other comments or questions or suggestions? Please come back to KF6Q Tech Tuesday and the group.
UA6FIZ.
Yes, Mickey, go ahead.
Well, you know, as long as we're talking about, I wonder what's going on here. I must have another radio somewhere. As long as we're talking about antennas, I have, for anybody that would like to have it, for a very nominal cost, that's free, but you have to take it down. It's a 15-element sideband antenna up on top of my tower. For anybody that would like to have that, that they can arrange to, I can drop the tower. You don't have to climb a tower or anything. You know, you can reach it from the roof. You know, go take a ladder, go up on the roof, and you can make it up to the top of the mast. But anybody interested in that, I'd be more than happy to give it to them for nothing. WA6FIZ.
Well, Mickey, before everybody jumps in there on that, I got a question for you now. What frequency band is that? That 15 element?
That's for a 2 meter sideband that covers the frequency they use for 2 meter sideband.
Well, Mickey, would you mind if the club used that for field day? Where we're at there, we might be able to do some sideband, and that might be the hot ticket. And then, of course, the club can pull it down, so that part will be out of the way. So then we'll figure out the rest from there. But that's up to you.
Sure, you know, I can go ahead and use it for sideband, and if somebody would like to have it, you know, they can have it.
Yeah, that's excellent. Yeah, I thought there for a minute there you're going to make us climb the tower fully extended up there, and I was like, wow, the view's great, but it's way up there. For everybody who's listening, yes, he does have a full 55-footer, and he is a little bit on a hill there, but that's okay. Okay. Well, anyway, Mick, very cool, very cool. Good deal. All right, anybody else out there, anything else to add to Tech Tuesday and the group?
Comment.
Yes, go ahead, Harold.
Yeah, I answered his query when he first started there. That's an illegal entry across the border without a green card. He thought he had another radio going. He does. 203 86PO.
Okay. Not sure how that works, but anyway. Well, good deal. We get a lot of interference in here, so but anyway, good deal. Anybody else out there, any questions or suggestions before we close?
KI6IQA.
DOA6HO.
Okay, in the order, we'll start with first with KI6IQA.
Missed the check-in, but I was listening for a good portion of it. Just wanted to let you know, and in the middle of showing Wyatt ET for the first time. KI6IQA. Good night.
Okay, Kelly, glad to have you out there, and good luck there, Wyatt. ET is a very weird-looking critter. Anyway, yes, Ron, go ahead.
Hey, Tom. Just thought maybe next time you guys talk about Yagis and stuff like that, throw in the circular polarized because they work really good for FM and sideband both.
Oh, very cool. Yeah, that's actually something that not a lot of people out there are aware of. Now, I know of what we call the wagon wheel type, whatever, that's flat, horizontal, polarized, omni, but that's not the circular polarized. Yeah, that's pretty cool. A lot of different things there. We also have loops, believe it or not, quants, and things like that. And with the Yagis, though, I think you're talking about where we have crossed elements, and they're like quarter wave phase, is that correct?
Yeah, basically it's two sets of Yagis on one boom. One is quarter wave spaced in front of the other, and it's phased with 75 ohm coax into a ballon, and then you just run feed line off of that. And the only problem is if you run it 100 watts, you're splitting it between the elements, so that, you know, the vertical elements and the horizontal elements are only getting 50 watts each.
Yeah, roger that. I think they really work really good with satellite work because of the way that satellites can tumble. You get that, geo-something polarization, the flip that you get as they move across the sky, depending where they are over the sky. All that weird stuff, and of course with a circular antenna like that, it'll pretty much cover all the bases there, or it tends to, let's put it that way. So turnstile, another type, and let's see, what is it, helical something. I'll get it out there anyway. Yeah, a couple of things there. Interesting thing about circular polarization is that it can be right hand or left hand, and that can be also an issue with the, I don't know if it's 20 dB, but the loss starts to get really high. So, weird stuff there. Got to be careful where we tread with some of that stuff, but a lot of stuff out there. Antenna is a very huge world of parts and pieces. Go ahead, back to you, Ron.
Yeah, Tom. Yeah, also satellite stuff I did with right-hand circular polarization, and I didn't need to switch between the antennas. And then, actually, my downlink antenna was a M-squared. It's an EME antenna. It's actually a moon bounce antenna that they make. And I canted it at a 45-degree angle, and it would run up the elevation rotor looking at the satellite, and it worked just fine. So, I don't know. I was getting S9 signals from all the satellites I worked, so it seems to work pretty good.
Yeah, and I've used that little arrow, crossed 440, 2 meter, and of course I've actually spun it a little bit after I've been actually locked into something, and it does make a difference, you know, a little bit, but of course that's all portable gear, and that's all cool. So, well, anyway, we're getting, we have about a quarter to eight now, so let's see if anybody else out there has anything else to add for this Tech Tuesday before we close it for the evening. All right, I think we just about got it covered. Very cool. Contesting is pretty neat. You know, like, if you've never done it, don't be afraid to do it. This is pretty cool. I like this new newcomer thing here, and that's pretty cool. Good article here, and you can always get out there and get your feet wet. Not a big deal. Always good to do a lot of reading ahead of time so you can at least kind of get an idea what goes on, or just do some listening and listen to what goes on out there, and you can kind of get the hang of that. Field Day, very good example, and anybody out there listening, come on out to the Big Bear Field Day. We are going to be in the forest, set up with some very cool, tall trees. Our trees are close to 100 feet tall. We're going to have multiple stations set up out there, kind of like camping at a big picnic campground. We're just hoping Yogi Bear and Boo Boo do not come by, because they are not too far away, but I don't think we'll have to worry about that. Anyway, let me just close the Tuesday, Tech Tuesday here for this evening. So this is QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q, acting as net control for Tech Tuesday. will be closing the net at 1900 hours, 47 minutes. Thanks everybody out there. Thanks to everybody for joining us, including Mike. Of course, he had to go to the work QTH. And hopefully we'll see you again next week, right here, again, returning the repeater back to normal use. KF6Q.